Sensation on Sky Sport. Thanks for being with us as we continue on our pre-season coaches catch-up with the head of Super Rugby Aotearoa, Ricky Swanell, Joe Wheeler, in with you. And we've got the Chiefs' new head coach, Clayton McMillan, coming in. And we will talk about the Chiefs, but we want to get to know you a little bit as well. And starting, I guess, with your upbringing in Rotorua, how much has that shaped you as a person and as a coach and the person you are today?
Oh, it's had a significant part in the way that I've evolved into the man I am today. So whangaed out. So for those that aren't too sure what that is, Australian mother passed away when I was young in Australia. Father brought me back to New Zealand, moved in with a sister, my auntie and uncle. He moved on and remarried a few years later, and I ended up staying there. And you know, they played a significant part in my upbringing. Really loving family, and but by no stretch of the imagination, privileged or anything like that. Hardworking people, and like to think that that's rubbed off pretty well on me. Schooled through the local school system, Rotorua boys. Back in those days, a bit of a battler school, but in more recent times, put themselves on the map with a few, championship winning teams over the years, and a lot of guys running around now having come through that school. So it was good. And then my vocation sort of before I got into coaching was obviously playing for a bit, but policing. So policed in Rotorua for a number of years. Went over to Japan, played over there, did that thing, come back, policed in Porirua. So two pretty good towns to police in to help you handle the rigours of professional coaching, I think.
In terms of, I want to go back to Rotorua boys and your first 15 playing days. You said it wasn't that successful school that it is now, that we all know that Rotorua boys is. But how did that shape you in terms of your playing? Was it that sort of tough old school sort of style of play, or how did that sort of develop your coaching and your playing abilities?
It was a bit of a battler school, a proud school, but a bit of a battler one. But I actually came through the school at a time where, right from JAB rugby, we had a number of tight friends that were reasonably successful, and went through high school together. Ended up playing in the first 15 and had a lot of success. We like to think that was sort of the start of the turning of the tide, and they started to actually win some stuff. But I guess the people were just hardworking, down to earth people, really committed to their clubs, strong affiliations to your own clubs, and how that's affected me and my coaching is just probably having an appreciation that everyone has their own story and everyone has their own individual motivating factors. Some people play the modern game now for money. Some play for for opportunity to travel, to provide for their families, and some still just play for the love of the game. And I think it's really important in part as a coach to understand what those individual drivers are for people. And my upbringing and certainly my policing career, I think, helped me have a good understanding at recognising and developing relationships so people are happy to share their story, and then I can utilise that to my advantage to push the right buttons, I guess, when the need requires.
So you've happy to impart your upbringing, your family. Auntie Marlene, I believe, she sounds like quite the woman.
Yeah, look, you've done your homework, haven't you?
Well, they pay us the big bucks in the intern studio.
Yeah, you're going to get...
Speak for yourself.
You're going to get promoted next door faster than
you've got to lose your hair to go through there, mate.
Yeah, she's played a significant part of my life, still does. Helped raise my kids when myself and my partner were really busy, and just always been there, a real rock for not just me, but matriarch of our whole family. So, big shout out to her.
Yeah, awesome. The Waka Rewa Club, yep. Obviously pretty close to your heart. Can you sort of talk to us about that journey for you out of school, and then how that shaped you as a rugby player and then a coach?
It's been significant. It helped me. I got a lot of support from them coming through the grades and getting an opportunity at with the Bay, and you know there were some great mentors back in the day when you know guys hung around and played, you know, representative football well into their 30s, which is a little bit of a rarity now. But having those guys, you know, playing club rugby and you coming along as a bit of a young shot and thinking that you know everything, and then getting taught some really valuable lessons, both on and off the field, were you know really really beneficial to my development.
When you're coming through the coaching ranks and you've obviously gone and done some great things with the Bay, the real Bay, of course, we should absolutely add that in, just FYI, but going around the world and all of that, how do you maintain that connection to Rotorua that is obviously so ingrained in you and has been such a big part of who you are?
Well, a lot of my you know family and friends still live there, and I live in Papamoa at the moment because it's a little bit more convenient to, you know, to get along to Bay trainings, but... my spiritual home has always been Rotorua and will always be Rotorua. My family and friends all remain there, and you know, even with the Māori All Blacks that we're with at the moment are training down there, and that's really just come about that there's a lot of grounds that are being utilised for other sports at the moment, and you know, you can always just rely on them to make a phone call and they're open and welcome.
Yeah. Does that having that policing background, having had another life, another job, does that give you a little bit of perspective too on rugby and life in general? Because I'd imagine, you don't necessarily see a whole lot of nice stuff sometimes when it comes to policing.
Yeah. Look, I like a lot of you know good working people out there that are in the police. You see stuff that the general public just don't get to see, and a lot of it isn't nice. But you know what you're getting yourself in for. But what it does do is it certainly gives you an appreciation for, you know, all the other stuff that you do have in your life. And I often, you know, tell young guys now that you know, it's really important that they go out and do some study or get a trade or you know, get some experience in work, because it really does give you appreciation for real life. And you know. And that we're in a privileged position to be able to be in the sport of rugby and get paid. And often if that's the only thing you've known, when it goes a little bit pear-shaped, the ability to deal with that, or you know, the young fella's resilience can get tested at times. And so I'm grateful for my journey, really grateful that I've you know, done what I've done. And you know, my journey to the Chiefs and the Mighty All Blacks and through Bay of Plenty has been you know, pretty long journey to get to where I am, but I wouldn't change it for the world, because I think it certainly helped me become the coach that I am.
Yeah, I suppose when you look at a lot of other coaches now, they go through this path of probably becoming a really great rugby player and an All Black, and then transition into footy, and you've probably taken a different path where you're a 100-game Bay of Plenty player, when applied your trade in Japan, become a police officer, really well-rounded, and I think that's from an ex-rugby player's perspective, gives those young guys good perspective. And I think for this Chiefs team that you're taking on in 2021, how do you impart some of that to sort of lift them again from what was a pretty disappointing Super Rugby Aotearoa?
Yeah, it's a good question. If I look back on myself, I probably took myself a little bit too seriously when I was younger, and it's helped me, as I said before, to you know just appreciate and take the time to just step back and probably be in reflection mode a little bit more, think before I speak, and probably am a better person and a better coach for it. And I hope that those lessons that I've learned over time are sort of skills that I can impart on other players who all have lives outside of rugby too. And as I said, I think the true value is in not just being able to, you know, teach them how to play the game of rugby, but to be a mentor, to be a friend, you know, to be a person that they can rely on to, you know, help them out in times of need, and to celebrate successes when you know there are times to celebrate.
So in terms of that handover from Gats last year to you, how's that gone? Or have you just been able to, has he just given you a clean slate for 2021 and said, here you go, Clayton, go for gold, mate.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck to you.
A bit of both, really.
Yeah.
Fortunately, my appointment as the interim head coach of the Chiefs with Getson's departure with the British and Irish Lions. Happened really early, so it happened I think in February or March 2020. And then COVID hit. And so I had a lot of time during COVID to, you know, think about where I might be able to add some influence there when 2021 rolls around. Mm. And then when rugby kicked off again, Super Rugby Aotearoa, I spent probably a week, the full week in Hamilton, sometimes I spent 1 or 2 days, but effectively through the whole of that period, I spent a significant amount of time in the Chiefs environment, just being a fly on the wall, talking a lot to Gats and the other coaches around, you know, the good stuff that's happening there and the things that potentially change, you know, given a bit more time. And, you know, we've been continuing to have an ongoing dialogue and a lot of planning going on at the back end of the season. So the transition has been a really good one. I'm well aware what's in all of the stuff that I think can be improved, but equally I'm well aware of the good stuff that was going on there, and we're all aware that the results didn't quite look as rosy as we all would have liked, but you know, they weren't far away, and there's a bloody good squad, the squad there to work with.
It's such a unique position that you find yourself in, and particularly too, I guess, given the season that the Chiefs had. So the extra scrutiny and the step up in level, how do you think you'll cope with that side of it? I mean, it could go, you could, if you go great guns and the Chiefs win every game, win the comp, then there's going to be huge pressure regardless, and on Gatlin coming back, or if it goes the other way. Mm. So it's a whole new ball game.
Yeah,
I mean, no pressure.
I probably haven't looked at it like that. I'm first of all really, really grateful and excited for the opportunity. As I said, I think the transition has been great. I've been part of the decision making around you know, the squad that we're putting together. I've worked with a lot of the coaches previously with other teams. I know a lot of the players from, you know, being involved in New Zealand 20 system, Māori's, Bay of Plenty Rugby. So I don't feel like I'm walking into a foreign environment.
Yeah.
And what I can tell you is that there is a real collective desire to want to be better than we are, to move the organisation forward. And we're well aware of, you know, the successes that the team has had in the past, and we've probably, you know, held on to those really tightly. But it's kind of time for us to, you know, for this team to make a name for itself and forge its own path.
So in terms of the review process, you mentioned the warts and all. Was that one of the warts that came up, was too much attachment to the past and not creating your own destiny as this new Chiefs team? Or what were those warts?
Yeah, not so much a want to sort of leave the past in the past, but just there was a period there when, you know, Renz and Smithy and those guys came in and had a lot of success, and they implemented some systems and some cultural stuff in the organisation that was, you know, really powerful, and obviously resonated and was bought in with by the players, and they got a lot of success off the back of that. And then over time, you know, people moved on, and to the point where, you know, there's maybe Sam Kane, Brad Weber, a couple of guys that are part of today's team that were also part of the previous regime, and so they still maintain a really strong connection to a lot of those things, and there is a desire to want to drag everyone along. The key is making it is actually being able to get them to connect in the same way. So things don't need to change. We just need to have a slightly different mindset and figure out the way to bring everyone in.
Yeah, how do you do that? Because obviously environments evolve every year. They always are forever changing. That's the great thing about team cultures, right? Mm. And it's putting your own stamp on it. But how do you do that as a coach for 1 year, get these guys to buy into this vision of what makes a Chiefs Mana, and then but put your stamp on Chiefs Mana, this team in 2021? How do you do that?
Well, I think the starting point is for us to actually decide as a group what it is. You know, we at the moment, I think there's a lot of the current group who we talk a lot about Chiefs Mana, but if we were to ask a good portion of the squad or even people that are in, you know, governance roles, are we able to articulate, you know, really pinpoint what that actually looks like and what it means for us, not just as a team or as an individual, but as an organisation? I think if we'd be brutally honest, there would probably be a bit of grey there. And so the starting point is for us to actually collectively get together and wānanga, or have a, you know, have a deep discussion and say, hey, we know this is a significant part of our whakapapa, our history. We know that it still has relevance today. We just need to understand what it means for us here and now and how we're going to drive it forward.
In terms of the way you guys want to play on the field, are you going to put, sort of carry on the what Warren did last season, 2020, or are you going to sort of change the style to suit Clayton McMillan and what you believe is the right style for the Chiefs going forward? Or is there dialogue between the two of you to find a happy medium, so to speak?
Yeah, look, I think Gets probably gets a bit of...
Gatlin ball. It's probably a bit rough.
Warren,
isn't it?
Yeah, I think
Warren ball.
Yeah, it's misdirected criticism. You know, I know that he's talking to him. He's a really smart man who has a really, you know, broad view of rugby and understands that it can be played in multiple ways, and you can be successful and you can have bad days at the office. That's just the nature of high performance sport. You know, I've never ever been to a training where he's demanding that we, you know, carry and get around the corner, yeah. Corner and play Warren ball. far from the truth. So, look, in terms of
dispel Warren ball, done.
In terms of how we play, I've always been a believer that, you know, you only really deal with the cards that you've been dealt with. So, you know, you can't aim to play a game if you haven't got the profile of player to be able to play that game. So there's that element, but also I think, you know, each team does have a bit of an identity around how they play, and it's been a big part of our discussions as coaching group around what is our identity, does our profile match the identity of being able to play. So I think, when I think Chiefs rugby, I think relentless, you know, go all day, brutal. You know, I don't think that a lot of teams really enjoy playing the Chiefs because they'll bring the niggle, they'll bring the aggression, they'll put bodies on the ground. You know, there's a bit of innovation and there's a willingness to sort of pull a trigger and have a go. That's my, you know, from the outside looking in, that's what I would have said Chiefs identity looks like. Certainly from speaking to a lot of people, including supporters and stakeholders, that's pretty similar to what they are thinking. So, I think it would be remiss of us, and we'd be setting ourselves up for failure if we were trying to move too far away from that.
I know we've barely survived 2020. We haven't even got through into 2021 yet, but what are you going to do in 2022?
Good question. Oh, no, look, the long-term plan is for me to remain at the Chiefs. So Gets will come back from over in Africa, and I'll step back into an assistant coaching role, and I'll get to be mentored and learn off, you know, one of the world's most experienced coaches, which for me is was really appealing to doing the job that I'm doing now. It's great that I get to, you know, dip my toes in the head coaching waters at Super Rugby level, but the real goal for me is to be able to operate with that guy, because I've always been the head coach, and I'd actually really just appreciate being able to just nail down on a particular area of the game and as I said, learn off that guy.
Learn off one of the best. Yeah. That's awesome. One guy that you've signed, Bryn Gatlin. Now, I'm interested. Was this your call? Or was this dad's call? I'll sort you out, son. I'll sort you out.
No.
I remember last year we played a Mighty 10 Cup final against Hawke's Bay for Bay of Plenty.
And, I recall.
Yeah, my daughter ran the ball out onto the field, and the commentator, I don't think it was you, but somebody talked a little bit about nepotism, and I said, I didn't even know what nepotism was.
Definitely wasn't me.
I had to go and look it up, and I figured out what it was, and Bryn's selection is certainly not that. To put it out there and put all comments, you know, in social media or whatever to bed, Warren Gatlin stepped completely away from the selection decisions around the tens. We obviously looked right around the country and assessed a number of individuals, and, you know, Bryn was just a standout candidate. Had a great Mitre 10 Cup, top point scorer, a real, you know, driver, tactician, great goal kicker, and I worked with him before. When I took the British and Irish, the Barbarians against the British and Irish Lions, he was our 10, and I was really impressed with him then. And, you know, when assessing him against the other candidates, it was a bit of a no-brainer.
Leadership for the the Chiefs, obviously, Sam Kane being the All Black captain. Are you going to put him in that captaincy role again for the Chiefs, or do you feel that that load of being the All Blacks captain, first year in the job, doubling up might be a bit too much?
Yep. Well, we've seen, you know, the Crusaders in particular have some success by relieving, you know, the All Black captain of that responsibility at Super Rugby. I haven't had that conversation with Sam, but you know, if we'll certainly have a conversation, and you know, I'll largely be led by how he feels.
Yeah.
But you could only imagine it's a significant, you know, burden, not because of for any other reason than you know, it's captaining the All Blacks is right in the spotlight, isn't it?
And, well, we saw it with his you know, the criticism of his form during Super Rugby Aotearoa, but then we see what he did for the All Blacks. It's probably unfair in many ways.
Oh, look, it's he's a passionate man, and I really think that he's stood up and really led the All Blacks from the front. His game's gone to another level, and
100%.
But it's just whether that's sustainable over a 12-month period. You know, the performance will always be there, but and he'll always be a leader, irrespective of whether he's got a captaincy badge.
Yeah.
So if we go down that track, I know that, you know, he'll be supportive regardless. But equally, he could easily lead the Chiefs out.
And Māori All Blacks, obviously coach of that team and have been for a while. Where do you want to see that program go in the future? COVID gone and we get back to normal life, where do you want that program and what do you want for that team?
I want it to stay relevant, and I want it to, you know, be seen as an important team on the rugby, New Zealand Rugby Union landscape, and that's where it currently sits. You know, there's obviously challenges. You know, COVID has thrown up a number of challenges, and everybody's fighting for their space, and the corporate dollar is obviously really important. But you know, some of the Māori rugby legacy is significant. You know, some of our best rugby players, full stop, have represented the Māori All Blacks, and I want that opportunity for young Māori men and women to be there in future generations. And that's why it's important when we're given opportunities in the current day to make sure that, you know, the team performs really well both on and off the field. Ideally, we're performing against, you know, like tier one nations, really good teams, so that people can say, oh, hey, look, you know, they are actually really good, and it would be you know, it'd be great to get them playing this team or that team. But more importantly, that there is actually just a team, and we are we have a program every year.
Righto, mate. We're on to the type five. So you're on the home straight.
All right.
These are sort of short, sharp. I need quick answers, whatever comes to your mind first.
There's been
and foremost
varying levels of speed
some
of these answers.
But we want honesty.
Honesty, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And as a former policeman, that is number one, so no pressure.
Yeah.
We can pick a liar. First up, mate, young Chiefs player that we've got to look out for in 2021.
Xavier Rowe.
Your greatest sporting achievement, and don't be humble.
Playing 100 games for Burr Plenty.
Nice, mate. If we came around for dinner, what are you cooking for us?
Bacon and egg pie.
You
beauty.
Although my mum makes the best bacon.
Are you putting peas in it?
Yeah, I got to put peas
in
it.
Good stuff. Yeah,
Why would you ruin bacon egg pie with a pea?
Beautiful touch, mate.
Oh,
love your work.
Dear.
Yeah. international player and Kiwi player that you would most like to coach?
I'd really love if Mario Itoje come to the Chiefs. I think he might be able to add a little bit of value.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was the other part of the question?
And the Kiwi player that you'd love to coach.
Ooh.
Or you'd love to have at the Chiefs next year. You can poach anyone from any other team.
If I could poach anyone from any other team, it would be Aaron Smith.
Nice, mate. Yeah, well, he's not bad.
I just think
you're not going to get him.
He makes a big difference to any team he plays for.
And Super Rugby Aotearoa next year, one team that you'd love to knock off their perch, who would it be and why?
The Crusaders. Simply because they have set the standard and they're pretty good.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Clayton McMillan, thank you so much. All the very best for your season in charge of the Chiefs. That was The Conversation. You can catch up with us wherever you get your podcasts from on the Sky Sport Present social media pages, and of course more of The Conversation here on Sky Sport.